Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Fourth down. Snap is back with time. Rifles a throw. Incomplete. Broken up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it looks like Brady lost the down.
Fourth down.
Did he not know it was fourth down?
Yeah, he knew.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Fourth down.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero.
Still to come.
Tampa Bay Times NFL reporter Rick Stroud. Plus, co-host of Good Morning Football, Nate Burleson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Week five of the NFL season kicked off last night, and we had an entertaining one, a tight one. Didn't look like that would be the case through the first, let's say, 25 minutes of the game or so. And then all of a sudden, the Bucs started making mistakes. And it's just the little things. It's the little things, like not being able to kick a kickoff through the end zone like every other kicker can do. And then Cordarrelle Patterson giving field position for Nick Foles is around the 30, 35-yard line. Then not being able to avoid the mistakes like offensive interference or a hold here and a hold there. Now, look, I understand Khalil Mack can make some make you flinch. Tristan Wirfs is going to have a very good career in the National Football League.
No doubt.
But he was a rag doll a couple of times with Khalil Mack.
That clip where he fought like fireman right. Flips him over with one arm.
It just doesn't matter. Jeez. If you have the GOAT. And I'll tell you, the GOAT finding Gronk in a way that looks like the old days, man. He and Gronk are on the same page in a way that weeks one and two they were not.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I think something's up with Gronk.
Like, what's the something up that's with Gronk? What is it?
I mean, you saw people making comments about it on Twitter. He looks old. He looks slow. He doesn't look like the Gronk we're used to seeing. I think Gronk seriously wonders why he came back.
I don't think so at all. I think, and we'll talk to Rick Stroud about it of the Tampa Bay Times. You can't sit out a year in the NFL and come back and just...
Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the excitedness? Where's the happy trucking guys Gronk that we've seen over the last decade?
Well, I mean, he's definitely, you know, shown up in the last 2-3 weeks in terms of targets and catches. He was a non-factor in the first 2 weeks.
They're not looking for Gronk in the red zone.
It's going to take some time. Well, look, Mike Evans is your red zone guy. I mean, hold on a second. Seriously. How many times when Brady had Gronk in New England, he had somebody like Evans? Randy Moss? Name me another guy.
No, they weren't on the same team that year.
Randy Moss was gone by the time that Gronk actually played in that second Super Bowl against the...
Yeah.
So he's never really had that.
I'm just saying he doesn't look like...
No, Mike Evans is your red zone guy. That's why Mike Evans has a handful of touchdown catches of 6 yards and fewer.
Gronk has 12 catches in 5 games.
Okay. I guess we can go back and forth about it. You're more of the Gronk guy than I would be, but
I think he doesn't look like quote unquote himself.
No, he doesn't look like the Gronk of the Hall of Fame years, but I think he's improving. And he was the guy that made that catch on Brady zinging one over the middle like it came out of his arm like 100 miles an hour that brought it down to 4th and short, and they decided to go for a field goal instead of a go-for-it touchdown moment that would have wrapped the game up. 11 penalties and 100-some-odd yards, 109 yards. That's can't win football games on the road. Doesn't matter if you have the GOAT. Or, in my mind, I think Gronk is beginning to come on from where I'm seeing it in this offense. But Rick Stroud will make heads or tails of this. He's talking to the Bucs this morning. And then Nick Foles, man. It's his gig, and it's going to be his gig moving on. This is it. Mitch is just going to come in unless Foles gets hurt. And that pretty much wraps it up. Unless there's like a month-long stretch where the Bears go like 1-3, 0-4, and Foles looks so dreadful But the Foles of winning games in the fourth quarter and beating Tom Brady gives you that good old feeling that they sit back on and they come off of their mini bye against the team coming off their bye. And the Green Bay Packers late Sunday afternoon is going to be Tampa's next up. And then Chicago, their next game after a mini bye is at Carolina. Foles versus Bridgewater. And then Chicago has a Monday nighter at the Rams here in Los Angeles before a late game in the afternoon against New Orleans. And then at Tennessee, if they're through all this insanity, and they better be a month from now. So that was a big game last night, and the Chicago Bears are now 4-1, sitting back while Green Bay is sitting back, and Green Bay's next up for Tampa. That's a tough one, man. And if Tampa falls to 3-3, New Orleans has a game this week against the Los Angeles Chargers. And I hate to say I told you so, but when I have the opportunity to do it, I will do it. My second down this week was the Los Angeles Chargers will have a difficult time going back to Tyrod Taylor. That no matter how unfortunate and unprecedented it is for a quarterback and a captain of a team to lose his starting role because of an errant needle from your own team doctor right before kickoff to take away the pain of a rib injury and it punctures a lung. You don't want to tell a guy who you love and is a leader of your team and you're desperate as a coach to give the opportunity to because you know he's worked his ass off for years because you were with him with another team and you brought him to this team. And you're giving him the shot to start for this team. And that guy loses his job because of that unfortunate situation that's happened to Tyrod Taylor. But when you have Justin Herbert drafted sixth overall and you have him showing up in that start where the needle went in errantly into Tyrod Taylor and within seconds of learning he's going to start has to face down the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs and he leads a touchdown drive on that and almost wins that game. And then goes toe-to-toe, point for point, with the GOAT Tom Brady on the road when Brady throws for 5 touchdowns and 369 yards passing. It's tough to say, you know what, kid? We're sitting you down. And Anthony Lynn said yesterday it's Justin Herbert's gig the rest of the year. And that was the only move that he could make. Because unlike Dwayne Haskins, Anthony Lynn is not the new coach in town who didn't draft wasn't part of the organization when they drafted this kid, as Ron Rivera is in the Washington football team for Dwayne Haskins. And Dwayne Haskins may or may not, in the eyes of the new coach, be the future, and they don't want to live with the growing pains of it throughout this playing season when they have an opportunity to win a division, which the Chargers, you could say, still have, but the Chiefs are way in front. For the Chargers to make the playoffs this year, one would say, if you did give Anthony Lynn some pause, certainly when you've already lost a game, hey, which is your best opportunity? Well, that 5-6, and if not 7 seed looks pretty damn good to me, and then we could see what we've got in this kid and let him get the reps because he is the future, and getting the reps now while we have a shot to win with the guys that we have around him, let's do it. Different than the Dwayne Haskins situation. I thought this was a good move by Anthony Lynn and was the, in my mind, only move he could make now, and also why it was so weird when he said for the Chargers, who are now, you know, as we know, 1-3, that he said at the time that the kid's a backup for the reason, you know, after he almost beat the Chiefs. It was really a weird thing to say when this kid is clearly the future. You've just drafted him. Unless you want to be Jay Gruden, you kind of have to back the kid's play here. It's kind of the only way to move. So that now it's official, and I think it's
Herbert can play. I mean,
say it again.
I don't think there's any doubt that Herbert can play. Look what the kid's done the last 2 weeks.
See how to do it, and he did it. He pulled the trigger on it yesterday, and that'll be, interestingly enough, his first start as the Chargers' starting quarterback of the future and for the rest of the season, not a guy filling in, is against a guy who was once taken by that organization only to lose his job and wind up in New Orleans. And Drew Brees. Brees' last game against the Chargers, unless Justin Herbert goes on a magical run and they see each other again in Tampa in February. Yeah, that's the second Monday night matchup.
Also, there was a report yesterday that game could still possibly get moved to Indianapolis because of the
Hurricane Delta that's barreling into Louisiana. But it does appear that that hurricane is moving west of New Orleans, Sean Payton and the Saints do not have plans to go anywhere. That unfortunately it's going to hit the Lake Charles area again for the second time in as many months. They're bracing for impact for Hurricane Delta, but it does appear that the Saints and Chargers will stay put there in the Superdome and will be the second game after the Broncos and Patriots have at it in a Monday night game that was moved there. And the conversation about that game being moved to Monday, it gives the Patriots a possibility of not only testing as many negative days in a row to make sure that the game does happen, but possibly Cam could return. His positive test was last Friday. We'll see how he is, but it's possible that he could return. Hey, look, you know, if the president can go back to campaigning 8 days after him, and he's a 74-year-old man, it's possible for Cam to start a football game just 9 days.
Cam is a perfect specimen, though, too.
I don't know. Is Cam going to have, like, an interview on Fox Sports to be medically checked out on national television? We'll tune in tonight. John in Boston, let's take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, John?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for the call. First off, RIP Whitey Ford. So I was actually calling about Game 5 of the series tonight.
Yep.
I honestly, as a Yankee fan, didn't think that they would be able to come back yesterday, you know, after striking out 18 times in Game 3 and setting a postseason record. You know, this team doesn't really play the small ball like Tampa does. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Game 5, as well as this whole catcher situation. I haven't been a big fan of Gary Sanchez, obviously with the strikeouts and comment. He plays into that well. And now that he seems to be the favorite of a lot of the pitchers, or Higashioka, I mean, I wonder what you think this means for Sanchez going into next year.
That's a good question. I have no idea if Sanchez is just showing true colors here, or it's just the shortened season didn't square with him, that something was off about him all year long. But it appears to
me he didn't have a great year last year either.
No, I know he was beginning. That's what I mean. It appears to be some diminishing returns, and we as Yankee fans like to peg somebody who's generationally talented as being such for their entire career, and when that doesn't pan out, it's kind of confusing in how that happens. But he might just be, I guess to use an analogy. The Didi Gregorius of the catching position here, where they just consider him talented but way too expensive to keep and move on, you know. And the Yankees, I think, have already moved on. They can't afford it. They can't afford a big black hole in the lineup where they can't afford somebody who is just an absolute sucker for the high fastball. And
You know what else they can't afford is his contract probably going into arbitration.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, they got all these young players they got to pay, and Sanchez ain't going to, like you said, bringing in the return.
They've already moved on. This situation is something that was unforeseen. It was beginning to play out last year. And thank you for the call, John. But this kid, Higashioka, has got pop. He's not coming up with the untimely passed ball that we see on occasion and the untimely not blocked ball in the dirt. Sanchez has hit some great home runs and he's had some great seasons, but right now he's like 25th on the roster right now. And that's unfortunate for him. Gerrit Cole tonight just got to throw some zeros up there. And then the Yankees have got to get this kid Arozarena out more than once every, three at bats. four at bats. Guys, been, you know, last night they actually got him out. And then Luke Voit hit a home run. And then a few more runs later. Nobody makes me more nervous than Zach Britton. I'm not going to lie. Nobody makes me more nervous than Zach Britton warming up in the pen. But he had some really good outs last night. A Rosarena, an Ofer. Got to do it again. That's it. And then get past their opener. And then there, what's the name of the next guy who comes in after the opener?
Is it the middleman?
He can't be a middleman. Middleman is like,
it's only the second inning.
Yeah, it's
right.
Not. You know what I mean? Can't have that. The middleman. The second you got an opener, and then you've got
The feature. I'm trying to think of how it does it.
When you go to a fancy dinner, you have like your appetizer, but what comes before the appetizer? You get a little cocktail.
No,
is there
salad?
Like what comes between the appetizer and the main course?
Well, I think it's a palate cleanser, right?
Yes. Like where's bread? The aperitif?
An aperitif?
Where? Yeah. When
so you got the opener. Then the aperitif is Snell would be the aperitif, right? Uh huh. The intermezzo.
The intermezzo.
How about
like
that?
Dessert.
Put the shift on for the opener and then make sure that the exit velocity is lowered down so the probability of the war and the OPS is more manageable for the second time through the lineup. Not the way I watched baseball when I was a kid. It was like, okay, here's Thurman Munson. He's coming for your throat and Colton Fitz. He's going to give you the finger. That was what it was growing up for me. Kind of liked it.
You know, the aperitif is it's used to whet the appetite and prepare the taste buds for future courses.
That's lovely.
So. The aperitif.
Okay, yeah, let's take a break. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times will join us. Bruce Arians has spoken today. Four downs gate, I guess. The fourth down gate. Is that what it is? An inflated sense of how many downs there were? That's coming up.
Wow.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to GEICO during GEICOween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at GEICO.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy GEICOween, everybody. Here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock, streaming now, as you could see. We're taking you to Brother from Another. Our higher register is coming up later this hour. The more and more we do it, I think the more and more we go higher register, the more we believe what we're actually saying. Last week, my higher register was Matt and maybe Matt Nagy knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles went out and looked terrible in four quarters against the Colts.
Terrible.
4 days later, before my next higher register, maybe Matt Nagy knows what he's doing. See how a higher register needs to be higher register, then falls flat, only to be higher register a few days later.
Yeah, like last week I said, yeah, maybe the Heat aren't out of it, and they won that night.
They did.
Exactly.
And then
now it looks like they're out of it, but
maybe they're not out of it. Got to tune in tonight.
Well, check it out, Game 5.
That's why we got to do higher register. And then anybody who's seen higher register and has enjoyed it thinks, TJ, you need to work on your higher register. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, you say that the people on the internet seem.
No, it's just.
Hey, I mean, yours are not great.
I have a good one today.
Oh.
Bonus. I give bonus
you
high
register. You give bonus high register.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good.
Whoa. Bonus high register. I just don't think I can fake a higher register. It comes naturally.
Like,
when I try to do it, it doesn't work. It just has to come.
As your higher register, like, maybe Rich wants to be on my boat.
Oh, you see? You can't.
We're back here on the Mightier 1090, everybody, as well as the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Our higher register segment's coming up, where, again, we have to say things in a higher register in order to truly believe what we're saying we believe. Like, maybe Tom Brady didn't know that it was fourth down last night. Even though he put up the number four after he threw way downfield, when normally this guy knows exactly what he's doing in the final drive. And knows exactly where the line to gain is, and he'll get his guys lined up properly and make the first down because he's always done that. See what I mean?
Yeah, that was well done.
That's what we call just an off the top of my head preview, a little taste to wet your beak a little bit. That's coming up later on in this hour. 844-204, it's your phone calls as well. But after last night's game, wanted to dial up our friend who covers this team and this sport in the city of Tampa. From the Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud back here on the show. How are you, Rick?
How the buck was this game?
Well done, Rick. Very well done.
I'm doing well, Rich. My high register isn't going that high yet. But, boy, you know, Tom Brady holding four fingers up and not knowing, you know, what down it was clearly, even though Bruce Arians basically said today, well, you'll have to ask him, but we knew what down it was.
Oh boy.
It's, you know, just as sort of the 2020 season so far for him, and it was unbelievable. I mean, he had, you know, the ball with 2:48 to go in the lead. They couldn't run any clock. Then he had the ball again with plenty of time, fourth and five. You know, takes a shot down the field, doesn't know what down it is. I mean, they've got a lot of problems. Brady isn't really very high on the list of them, but that's one that you know. They're going to regret, I think, down the road, and we'll see how much it hurts them in the future. But it's a beat-up football team, Rich, and yesterday was not a good performance by anybody, including the coaching staff.
Okay, so that's a lot right there, Rick. Let's take it one at a time. And I think you're spot on that Brady is not, you know, high on the list of issues as to why this team is 3-2. That said, I was, you know, high on this team. I still am. I picked them to win the Super Bowl. Because I thought that Brady, with this offense as it was constructed, not just roster-wise, but also with Leftwich and Arians being of one mind and body and attitude, that Brady would be the perfect vessel for it. But the fact that there was no on-field workouts except for whatever Tom was doing on his own with players, even though they weren't supposed to, that it does look like they're out of sync. It does look like there is just they're still in some sort of mode, despite the five touchdowns that we saw last week. What do you think, Rick?
No, you're absolutely right. And one coach described it to me as every week seems to be a jigsaw puzzle. And what the problem right now has been, really since the start of the year, you mentioned all the things, you know, not having the off season, but it's injuries. You know, they haven't had a healthy Mike Evans with a healthy Chris Godwin. Now O.J. Howard is gone for the year. You know, you had guys playing yesterday that, you know, we're making their first catches in the NFL. You know, he's throwing to Tyler Johnson and Cyril Grayson and guys like this. You know, it's been a grab bag, and they weathered it, you know, when they were down 17 a week ago or on Sunday, seems like a week ago on Sunday against the Chargers, and they kind of made the adjustment with him and Byron Leftwich at halftime, started attacking downfield and made huge plays and came back and won the game. But not everything was right in the first half, right, obviously. So they're really struggling with, you know, sort of that lack of continuity that they have, you know, their identity on offense. It looks like they can run the ball a little bit with Ronald Jones. But with so many injuries, I mean, you know, from Shady McCoy and Leonard Fournette not really playing, and Godwin we mentioned, you know, Scotty Miller was out there yesterday, didn't get a target, didn't make sense. So I think there needs to be, you know, more time, more meeting of the minds, and, you know, eventually they'll get it ironed out. But the other part of this is that the culture of this football team, I mean, you know, they led the league in penalties last year, and they're right back there again. And you can't win games with dumb football players. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. And Tom Brady comes from a place where they didn't suffer that for 20 seasons. And now he's going to figure out why this franchise, for whatever reason, has, you know, has a 387 lifetime winning percentage. I mean, you know, these guys have to play more discipline, and they haven't done it.
Yeah, I, you know, that was being discussed almost as much as the fourth down, and the fact that Brady left Foles hanging for a handshake after the game. Was Brady on the sideline of the game being very demonstrative, as we're used to seeing him when something's not happening properly on the field? That was, in fact, about the penalties and that one drive where there seemed to be more flags than an amusement park for the Bucks. Is that what it was, Rick?
Absolutely, yeah. It was. I think they had 55 yards of penalties, not all of them accepted, but that's what the total was, I believe. And, you know, including after the whistle things with headbutts and Ryan Jensen. And, you know, that sort of thing just is intolerable, you know. And you're going to have some bad calls, you know. I mean, look, they had a catch, ruled not a catch, that would have maybe been a touchdown and may have changed that game. They ended up with a field goal. But, you know, the things you can control, and it's also the higher price guy. I mean, these are, you know, Donovan Smith makes $14.5 million. He had, you know, two false starts and a holding penalty and gave up a couple sacks. You know, Mike Evans got into some post-whistle stuff. Ryan Jensen, same thing. I mean, you expect your leaders, as you know, coaches tell me, to play and set the example and be the guys that are being disciplined so that the younger players follow. And that's not happening right now. And I think Brady, you know, is going to continue to yell at them, and should. But we'll see if him alone and the coaching staff can change that.
Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times, here on the Rich Eisen Show. When the wins happen, it's all great. And, you know, Arians says, no, I'm serious. Arians is like, we would have lost that game last year by 20, and Brady's here, and it's great. And then the games in which they lose, we're talking about in game one, after which he said about Brady that one of the interceptions was on him, after which he basically said it wasn't. And now today you're saying you got to ask Tom. We all knew it was fourth down.
Right.
You think there's going to be any there about, again, Arians and Brady, or everything truly is, as you know, expected there? What can you tell us? What's the temperature on that through five games?
It's a great question, and I don't have a great answer. I've talked to coaches, you know, about the comments Bruce made about the pick six and things like that, and they tell me Brady, in the building at least, never really brought it up. If he was bothered by it, we asked him, and he seemed rather annoyed, maybe by the question or whatever. But clearly you don't like that. I mean, he didn't get called out, you know, by Bill Belichick, at least publicly, and we know he did it behind closed doors. Overall, Tom's happy here. Overall, I think this is a breath of fresh air for him. I think he feels like he can breathe, and he's got a lot of reasons why he came to Tampa, but we know the number one is to win. And, you know, it's a new coach, and Arians is different, and you get the good with the bad. I mean, he'll call all kinds of players out, you know, in the media. Sometimes he'll do it and then go to them and say, hey, I just ripped your ass, you know, right. And he'll tell them after the press conference. And so that's sort of who he is. And I think, you know, Brady would have researched that and talked to Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger and Carson Palmer and would have known that. By the same token, you don't enjoy it. So, you know, he's going to let Tom have to answer for this one. And frankly, Tom had two chances last night and didn't address it. I mean, it was great block and bridge time for him, but he just sort of, you know, well, I probably should have gone for the first down, you know, went for too much, but he never, but I mean, come on. When you listen, you know, if you have to choose between the audio and the video, believe the video.
So let's also hit Gronk here too, Rick, while we're talking about new situations for Patriots on this team. First 2 weeks, he is even joking he was there to block. Has been targeted much more, and it has had some receptions to the point where it does look like he's alive and he is part of this offense in a manner that is significant. My Gronk whisperer across the way, a longtime Patriot fan, and Chris Brockman, does not see the same guy in terms of speed and certainly enthusiasm, like the guy that would just soak it all in. I know there's no fans in the stands and things of that nature, but what are you seeing out of Gronk? Is he not the same? Is he getting along, coming along? What's the status with him and the way people are observing it, Rick?
I mean, I think it's a fair observation. I mean, you know, he took a year out of football, and I think he thought he was done. I think those keys were on the table, you know, and you don't normally pick them back up. I've talked to, you know, his dad, Gordy, and he said that he felt like Tom talked Gronk back into playing again. And, I mean, that could well be, you know. And again, when you see Gronk every day and you see him in practice, he's having fun. You know what I mean? He's not moping around or anything. He likes being with the guys. He likes being with Tom. He likes football. He loves football. But is he the same athlete? Does he have the same quick twitch? Can he get separation? I haven't seen it. You know, I mean, you got to, again, believe the video. I mean, I can't believe that Tom Brady wouldn't throw him the ball if he was winning, if the coverage took him there. He has more faith in throwing more passes to Gronk than anybody. So, you know, I think it's a combination of things. He's learning, too. You know, this offense is new for him. They've never featured the tight end in this offense, really. You get some big plays, some big seam routes and things like that, but it's never been a high-targeted position for Bruce Arians. So all of that mixed in is sort of where we're at with Gronk, right? And, you know, the main thing is that they need him to play tight end, and they need him to block, and they need him to do these things because, you know, with the injuries they've had, suddenly he's even more valuable than when they got him, when he was kind of a luxury piece.
Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times, 2 minutes left with him here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, Rick, so next up, the curve only gets steeper, not just because the national television eye is going to be glaring right on this team from the next four games. Two of them are Sunday nights, and the one is a Monday night, and then next week is the only one that's not in front of everybody, but it'll be most of the country. Because in comes the undefeated Green Bay Packers, and they're 12, and Aaron Rodgers playing at a very, very high level. And if you want to talk about somebody who could take advantage of the undisciplined, here's a guy who just beat the Atlanta Falcons by getting them to jump off sides with a hard count, using the actual words hard count as his hard count. So what do you think is, in fact, the challenge facing this Tampa Bay team for that one?
It's enormous. Now, you know, I've done this enough, and you have two, Rich, that you know it's an every-week league, right? I mean,
right.
It's crisis or carnival. When you lose, you may not win another game, and when you win, you could win the Super Bowl. So here come the Green Bay Packers. They're going to have some fans in Raymond James Stadium, the most they've had this year. Maybe that'll help a little bit. But this is a beat-up football team. The worst thing that happened yesterday, other than the loss,
Vita Vea.
Yeah. I mean, this defense has completely changed. He's out for the year with a broken ankle. You know, and now you have Ndamukong Suh, the offensive lines are going to certainly shade to him. That's going to create more problems for Jason Pierre-Paul. That whole defensive front, the linebackers aren't going to be as free. And this is a high-powered offense coming in here. They got to continue to find a way to stop the run. They just don't have anybody to replace them. And I think they're going to struggle a little bit. But, you know, 10 days, you get to rest some of those injuries. They got to get healthy. That's the main thing. Can they get Chris Godwin back? Can Mike Evans heal that ankle? Can they you know, clean up some of these penalties and the offensive line play better? So it's not all doom and gloom, but you're right. Those next games are on national TV. The spotlight is on them, and they start with the Packers and they end that gauntlet with the New Orleans Saints. So this is their season right in front of them.
Well, in terms of that, Rick, what about Godwin and Fournette? Do we expect to get them back full strength? I know Fournette was active last night, but he kind of had a Malcolm Butler activeness, you know, from a Super Bowl a couple years ago. You're wondering, why is this person active if we don't see him? So what about the injuries of players who aren't out for the season for that one as we currently
stand? Fournette was the break class in case of emergency running back. And,
right.
And I think Godwin will make it. He's not going to try to run till Thursday. But I do think there's a really good chance that he plays. Mike has played, hurt or not hurt, so 10 days off will certainly help him. Problem is you can't practice, right? And guys don't practice, they're not as sharp. I think Fournette, since he was in uniform, will be in uniform again, maybe have, you know, more to do, although Ronald Jones has taken over at that position a little bit. So they'll get some guys back. So that's the important thing.
And then I guess, too, Rick, just to wrap it up, when, you know, as the fault line that we're seeing here, certainly on last night, and it's just one game, I get it. But the fault line that we're seeing here is that with Aaron Rodgers coming in at 4-0 for Green Bay into Tampa, this is one of those games where Brady and the Patriots would know, okay, we're, game on, and we've got to be at our best, but we're one of the best, and we're gonna make sure that we're situationally smart as we need to be against this guy, and we're going to be great on offense because we know we can't make any mistakes because of this other guy rarely makes any. And they raise their game up, and it's one of those, you know, heavyweight slobber knockers that leaves us all thinking this could be for the conference later on. I mean, Brady's been in all those games, but the rest of these team, the people on this team have not. And the question is Brady going to bring him along, or is he going to wind up barking at him because they're not matching it? Like, that's the issue here, and this is one of those games that I think can provide the fault line to either get larger or maybe fuse a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to try to drag them with him. I think it's going to be a really, you know, miserable couple of 10 days. And I think that's important for this young football team. And I really do. And he said it last night. He goes, you know, if you don't, you know, if you're not carrying this with you, there's something wrong with you. And that offensive line had played well. They played horrible. It's all on film. They're embarrassed. They should be embarrassed. And I think you'll get their best effort. And I really do think that they can come back and play the kind of football they played at least the second half or most of that game against the Chargers. So, you know, all that has to happen. Here's the thing. You know, the Bears are a really good defense. We haven't talked about them.
Right.
You feel them when you're on the field. And I don't know that the Packers are as good on defense as the Bears were. So I think they'll bounce back. I think, you know, the sun will maybe be out and they'll play their best game. And Brady does know how to rise the level for everybody. So that's what he's got to do. That's why he's here. That's why they paid him $50 million. So let's see if he can do it.
Rick, appreciate the time and the insight and the great conversation as always. We'll check in and down the road. Maybe after this gauntlet, we'll check back in with you.
All right, Rick, anytime.
Thank you very much. Rick Stroud, everybody.
All right.
I'm telling you, it's a very popular segment. It's a very popular segment.
Good job, Rick.
We're going to do that next. But one of the reasons why I wanted to have Rick on now is I'm getting the sense that we're beginning, this is it, right? The 2020 storyline arcs that we follow. There are week-to-week storylines in the NFL. There are storylines that are season-long arcs to see how it's playing out. One of those season-long storyline arcs, how it plays out prior to the season that we pegged, was Chicago. What happens with Trubisky and Foles and that quarterback spot moving forward? What happens? Well, we're beginning to see that storyline arc playing out. It peaked faster than we thought. 10.5 quarters is when Matt Nagy told number 10, good job, you're on the bench. We're going with Foles. We need to see what this offense looks like in this guy that we handpicked. We went and got and acquired when Cam Newton was sitting at home, when other options were available to us. We said, we're trading for Foles. We're going there because he knows this offense from his cup of coffee in Kansas City prior to his next stop in Philadelphia. Nagy comes from the Reed Chiefs family tree. Chose him. We're seeing that storyline arc play out for the Bears. Now then, another storyline arc was clearly New England, Tampa, how that's going to play out. Another storyline arc, Green Bay. How will Rodgers handle the draft strategy of Green Bay? Well, we're seeing how that's playing out pretty damn fast in a positive way for Green Bay. As for Tampa, we're five games in, and this team didn't just come out of the chute like the cat's meow. Didn't do it. Now, a lot of that could be COVID, couldn't get the reps, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. But part of it is you're seeing, as Rick Stroud said, Tom Brady is seeing why this organization has had the winning record that it has had for a long time, because they have personnel that isn't up to the same Patriots snuff that he was accustomed to for 20 years. How is he going to handle that when it occurs in a crucial moment like, say, last night? How will it occur in future moments, as it may happen with Green Bay coming to town? And Tom knows. Tom knows what will be required next week. Arians knows what will be required next week. Do the rest of the team in Tampa know what is required of them next week? Will they live with what happened last night in the same manner that will cause Brady to maybe stare at the ceiling at 2 a.m? Does he have teammates that matches his level of intensity and desire to be great? So far, the answer to that question through 5 games is no. How will that manifest itself moving forward? I do not believe I'm making too much of one game. We've now seen 5 of them. We've seen 5 of them. And you could say no Godwin, no Evans healthy, no Fournette last night, no LeSean McCoy, no this. Well, look at Aaron Rodgers. Didn't get the help on draft day. Doesn't have Davante Adams. No big deal. Alan Lazard, it's your birthday. Lazard gets hurt. Big Bobby Tonyan, it's your birthday. And that birthday parade is coming to town in Tampa next week. And they're on a bye this week. So it's going to be 4-0 versus 3-2. And that's a huge one. And the Bears, just to bring it all together, Rick didn't go higher register when he's like, the Bears defense needs to have credit sent its way. They're pretty damn good. You know, hey, don't forget the Bears. Don't sleep on the Bears. He didn't go higher register. This Bears defense will make you look at your film session and be embarrassed, as he pointed out. That will be the next several days for the offensive line. And the offensive line meeting room in Tampa, they'll have to sit there and see it, and it won't be pretty. That defense, at some point, let me see when, let's dial it up. I know everybody's looking past them because we don't believe what we are seeing so far out of the 4-1 Bears, but you are what you are, as Bill Parcells once said, and there are no pictures in the standings, as I don't know who said that, but somebody once did. They're 4-1, and it won't be till Thanksgiving week, Sunday night of Thanksgiving weekend, everybody. The finisher is Green Bay hosting Chicago, and the final game of the year is Chicago hosting Green Bay. And that's Nick Foles' time. It's on. And there's a bunch of winnable games for Chicago between now and then. I don't know. Bears might have something cooking.
It's not just a deep dish pizza.
That's why I want to have Rick Stroud on, because this is all beginning. We're getting some pieces here. And maybe the NFC West isn't the best division in football anymore. That's higher register tease right there. For me, I can't wait to hear what the other guys have cooking. Del Tufo says he's got a bonus higher register. I can't wait to hear that. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck powder spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck anti-chafe stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether there are corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business. And look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop really does matter. Visa, everywhere you want to be. the official partner of the NFL. So phone calls, will take your calls at higher register. There is a piece of news that just got sent out from the NFL, a memo to clubs regarding interactions with game officials and mask protocols.
I saw that.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
I will read this in a hot second. In a hot second. What's our poll results as they currently stand right now, Chris?
Yeah, we were looking at 2-2 teams. There are six of them, but I put four on here. Which 2-2 team best shot to make the playoffs?
Yes.
2-2. 49ers, Cardinals, Patriots, Saints. Want to put your thumb on this, big boy?
49ers, Cardinals, Patriots, Saints.
2-2 team best shot to make the playoffs.
Ask me that question in about 2 minutes. I need to ruminate. I need to ruminate.
You got it.
I need to ponder.
That's a big word. What is
I need to Christian minutes. Ponder that a little bit more.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio network, I'm welcoming them back into Peak. If you want extra Rich Eisen Show, who doesn't? Really, that is a rhetorical question. Just get Peacock. Our commercial breaks are shorter. There's more stuff. We bat stuff around. We workshop a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We're just hanging, having a good time.
So I looked down at my emails. Tom Pelissero, our first hour guest, is reporting right now. And this is from the NFL Network assignment desk and news desk. That the NFL Senior Vice President of Officiating, Perry Fuell. How about that?
That's
a name we haven't heard in a while.
He was the Bills head coach for a hot second, too.
Sent this memo to clubs this morning. Because, you see so many times coaches pull down their masks to bark at the officials.
Yep.
And, again, I'm just wondering if, they might do it to get the attention of the officials because they don't want their voices muffled when they're hard to hear, or they're just used to pulling aside their headset to bark at the officials.
Right, makes sense.
But I don't understand when you're close enough to the officials to take the mask down, unless you're because these days, again, when you are talking to somebody within a proximity of 6 feet and you have a mask and you take it off to say something to them, that is viewed as what sign of disrespect could you possibly communicate to somebody with something that's nonverbal than to take your mask off and talk at somebody from a short distance? Apparently, officials have complained about this. Well, the NFL sent out a protocol and a reminder to coaches like, hey, what are you doing? And also, coaches who call plays, you're always putting play sheets in front of your mouth to avoid having your lips read. This is now perfect. It's about health and safety of yourself and others, and you can prevent your lips from being read. So why are you taking your mask off to call even plays? I saw that a couple times. The league's telling teams and coaches that basically mask up, don't do this. Additionally, we have reminded game officials that if an individual not wearing a face covering approaches them inappropriately, they have the authority to take administrative or officiating action, including a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. Gee. So we know about face masks and 15-yard penalties for face masks. This is literally an unface masking penalty that might be coming to a coach near you. Can you imagine? Could you imagine game on the line and a coach takes his mask off to bark at an official, out comes a flag, 15-yard penalty for unface masking? May happen.
It's just the times we live in right now. It's weird.
You got to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it.
It's going to take some time to get used to it, but
maybe that's why Belichick was wearing two masks last week.
Yeah, in case he gets a little excited.
Yeah. Gets a little excited, forgets.
I don't
know.
Safety
mask.
As we know, the first week that we saw him wearing a mask on the national televised game in Seattle, honestly, I think he wore it upside down at one point. Yes. Another time it looked like a feed bag. Another time it looked like a Fidelio mask. Yeah. And so now that you just mask up and then put another, goiter around it or whatever, gator. And then you're good.
Goiter.
It was a goiter that we had. We had a whole other situation.
That's Frank Beamer. Okay. Sorry. All right. You ready to go higher register here?
Yes.
Here we go. Let's go higher register.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
Okay. Once again, it's becoming a very popular segment that just was born out again that we found out here on the show. We sometimes, go higher register when we're trying to convince ourselves of a point that we kind of believe, but we need to go higher register to actually hammer home the point that we believe it. So here we go. Every Friday, we come up with a statement we need to go in higher register to get our point across. And here we go. Coming to the season, I believed it then. And then the first few weeks bore it out with Seattle and San Francisco being your defending NFC champs in the same division as Arizona that started out 2-0, and then the Los Angeles Rams. NFC West, toughest division in football, right?
Yes, indeed.
But let me ask you a question. Look for another division that's got a 4-0 team atop it. There's a couple of them, right? How about not one, but two 3-1 teams underneath that 4-0 team? There's only one of those. It's only one of those that also fields a lookout. That kid's pretty damn good and becoming better each passing week and can become a problem for you in short order. Yes, that division is the AFC North. So maybe the AFC North is the best division in football. I don't know. The Steelers are undefeated. Ravens were the one seed last year. And now Cleveland's 3-1. And I don't know. Sure looks like Joe Burrow's a real deal. Maybe the best division in football is the AFC North. Chris?
Well done.
Thank you very
much.
I'll give myself a round of applause right there.
Now Rick Stroud, we just heard from.
Yes.
Kind of poo-pooed this maybe a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm still going to go there. Tom Brady, big senior moment last night.
Yes, indeed.
We know when you get a little older and you're a senior, you kind of go south for the winter and maybe the rest of your life.
Become a Florida man?
Gronkowski, you think is coming on, Rich. Only 4 catches in the last 2 games. I think he looks like that beat-up old pickup truck that you think still runs great. But every time you pull it out, you have a little problems. Maybe they break down. Maybe you got to get a tow. You got to take to the shop. I'm just thinking, guys, like, maybe Bronk and Grady with like a mulligan on going to Tampa.
Oh no.
Maybe it sounded great in the offseason, but when it actually get down there, not so good.
Wow. That's a hot higher register.
That's you're on fire with that one.
What else? What do you have, TJ?
Well, now that you guys have gotten into my head about my higher register take,
well, you just
got to
really give it. You got about a minute to give it.
So, here's the deal. Last week, my higher register take was I believed in the Dodgers. I believed that all of their postseason failures had finally come to the point where they were over.
Maybe it's their year.
Maybe Clayton Kershaw was going to become the pitcher we all thought he would
maybe
be.
Maybe he's the real deal.
I'm still all in on the Dodgers. I'm pretty sure the Dodgers are going to win the World Series this year. I'm convinced.
So that's your higher register?
That's my higher register. The Dodgers are going to win it all.
They're the favorite.
They've been the favorite, though, right?
I don't know. Maybe TJ needs to switch up his higher register.
Wait a second. TJ's higher registers do suck.
Wait a second. Chris, didn't you tell me last week that the Dodgers have been favored multiple times?
Multiple times.
And how many World Series do they have to show for it?
They got 0.
They got 0. So just because they're favored doesn't mean they're going to win.
Okay. You said you had a bonus higher register, Mike?
What's
your bonus?
Quick. Rich, the other day, you said you were upset you didn't go on the boat, and then you
kind of
went back.
Yeah.
Less than 24 hours ago.
Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. But I really do believe you were upset you didn't go on the boat.
Ooh.
You said you didn't care after the fact, but I think
maybe I was upset.
You were really upset.
No, maybe you hurt Rich's feelings.
So you're invited. You're invited on the boat.
Mike, I wasn't upset about it. I really do want to go on your boat. I want the invitation. Maybe I just want the actual courtesy of being invited so I could tell you I'm too busy.
Maybe we all want to go on the boat.
Maybe the boat sounds appealing. Maybe I want to be stuck with you in the middle of open water for a few hours. Maybe that's maybe I consider that fun.
Good I'm movie. Worried that Del Tufo is going to be like David Kleinfeld on the boat.
We're going to go and pick up a Carlito's, monster.
Carlito's way style.
Look so out. Pick up a monster on that buoy.
Nate Burleson's going to join us coming up. A good co-host of Good Morning Football and the NFL Today on CBS. Hour number 3 coming up on the other side of this break right here on a busy Friday on The Rich Eisen Show.